We're back on a Fan Friday of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, and I'm John Ledyard from FanRagSports.com, and joining me is Trevor Sycamore, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for PewterReport.com, and we've got to tackle your questions on a Fan Friday before we get to telling you the MyBookie lines and how Trevor and I would pick this weekend's NFL games. Trev, the first question we got off the bat was from Mike Kist, of course, who usually is, and he wanted us to answer the question, how do you feel, and I told people, anything goes this week. How do you feel about washing towels? One use and in the hamper or stretch it out? He asked this question to Mike Leach, and Mike Leach said that he responded to it. And Mike Leach said, my wife tells me to use them more than once, so I try and listen to her. And it was a funny response, funny that Leach responded in general. But then Mike was like, well, we wanted to know how you and I handle the towel situation. So what's your theory on the towel situation? Just one use or stretch it out a little bit?
When I was in college and we did not have easy access to washers or dryers,
right?
That bad boy would go like four uses deep. But now that I actually have a washer and dryer where I live, dude, one and in the hamper. I'm just doing one.
No.
Yes.
One use, dude? I mean, come on.
I have a washer in the house.
You're washing your clean body with it. You're drying your clean body off.
Yeah, but where do you think the water goes, John? Where do you think it goes? It goes on the towel, and the towel just sits there with water on it.
Yeah, so? And then it dries, and you use it again.
That's not how, yeah, but then like smells, or it'll get like,
well, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you should use it for months. I think one use is a little bit too low, but I mean, I obviously think some people are straight nasty with it, though.
What are you, a two user?
I mean, you can sometimes stretch it out. You could go a week, I think. I don't think that's out of the
question. What, son? No. What? No.
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god! I need a new show. We gotta get out of here. Oh my gosh!
Here's an easy one for you.
Remind me not to book the hotel with you when we go to the combine.
No, when we're at the hotel, man, I'm using a different one every day. The hotel, yeah, no chance.
You gotta wash your dryer at home.
Yeah, I know, but then you wanted to be doing towels every couple days, you know.
So you're cool with somebody else doing your work. All right, I see how it is.
You gotta alternate too. You could have like a cycle, like you could have like four towels going at once, you know. So then you're just washing them all at the same time at the end of the week on the same day, you know.
So you gotta, but then in your mind, you've got a depth chart of towels, right?
So I would say, yeah, it's like two uses per towel, but you get four, like a couple towels running through the week, and then you just put them all in at the same time.
Oh, yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm using multiple towels a week, but I'm pretty much a one use and we're done here kind of a guy. So, yeah.
All right, here's an easy one we definitely will agree on. Is Russell Wilson an elite quarterback? I think yes. I mean, unless we're saying like elite is like a tier reserved for Rodgers and Brady, or, you know, only, then I mean, I think Russell Wilson's a top 7-8 quarterback in the NFL for sure.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson gives you a chance to beat any opponent any week, and I think that he puts on throws that are special. He moves around the pocket in a way that's special. I know a lot of people don't like him because, you know, he could be inconsistent or whatever you want to call it. But in my mind, yes. As long as we're not saying that elite is only in that like god tier of quarterbacks. You know, if we're saying, you know, top five or six guys, whatever, are elite. I mean, Russell Wilson's got to be in there or basically in the same tier as guys who can get it done with anybody else any week. I think Russell Wilson's good.
Yeah. Where do you predict Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, and Tyrod Taylor will be playing in 2018? Smith is actually still under contract. He is an opt. I think that the team could opt out on him, but I don't know.
They will.
Do you think? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't actually think that, but I just selfishly want the Mahomes era to begin.
I know.
Maybe because I also have Mahomes as my dynasty quarterback in a fantasy league, so I'm kind of hoping that I push this agenda to where Alex Smith gets out of there.
Right now, I'm going to say Smith will be in Kansas City still. Why not Kirk, maybe? Well, maybe Cleveland. Tyrod, I don't know. Tyrod's not been an issue in Buffalo, so I don't know why they would want to get rid of him at this point.
Kirk Cousins is going to be in Indianapolis when they trade Andrew Luck. Wait, what?
Oh, my goodness. That would be the wildest QB, like, I don't know, what is it, 8 months, 7 months, less than that, for 6 months, you know, ever. I mean, with the Garoppolo stuff and the almost McCarron stuff and Cousins and Taylor and maybe Ben Roethlisberger retires and who knows who else. And, yeah, I mean, there could be a lot happening. This is going to be one of the more interesting – we're in the transition time of quarterbacks, to be honest, because Alex Smith, Drew Brees, at some point Tom Brady – Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, all these guys are going to get phased out here in the next year or two, probably. I don't know about Brees, actually. He's still awesome. But, you know, all these guys are going to eventually either retire or get phased out in the next couple years, and we're going to have all these teams that are perennially, most of them which are pretty good teams. Now, this year, Giants are struggling already. Arizona, you're already starting to see, you know, the age of those quarterbacks and the play of those quarterbacks take a decline. But a lot of these teams that we've found to be picking later in the draft typically are now going to be picking or wanting to pick near the top of the draft. And they could, you know, maybe suck for a year until they get to that point. Oh, here's a good one for you, Trevor.
You meet
your dream girl in every way, but she says you have to shave your head or she's out. What do you do? Make it or break it? She's your dream girl.
Is a trap question because my dream girl would love my hair. So,
it's your dream girl in every way except that she wants you to shave your head.
Are we talking like buzz cut forever or like bald, like just like straight bald or like just short hair? What are we talking here?
I don't know. He says shave your head. He says shave your head. So I think that's at least a buzz.
Okay. I look awful with a buzz cut, like just awful. But look, like if my dream girl is cool with it, I mean, I'd put up with it and just tell myself every time I looked in the mirror that it's okay. So
wow, you're whipped already, and she's not. You're not. You haven't even met her yet. Unbelievable.
I think. I think cool with that. I think I'd be cool with that. Although it'd be difficult.
The next question is.
It would be difficult.
The next question is amazing. On a scale from 1 to 10, how white girl is Trevor?
Well, without, like, actually being a girl, I mean, I gotta be, like, a 7 or an 8, right?
Yeah, I mean, I see. Yeah, definitely. You fix your hair up. I definitely feel like you get probably pumpkin spice lattes at Starbucks
and things like that. Not a coffee dude. Not a coffee dude. Not a Starbucks dude. So that's where I'm out.
Do you wear scarves? Are you a scarf guy?
No. I mean, I live in Florida, so not really.
Okay, well, true. What if you – do you find them stylish?
Do I wear my beanies incorrectly, like halfway on my head? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow. So, yep, there. Locked it up. There we go.
So, you know, do I wear, like, the glasses where they're not actually glasses, they're just fake glasses, and just wear them for aesthetics? Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Continue. Go on. Go on.
I'm trying to think.
What's your opinion on knee-high boots?
Wait, what? knee-high boots.
Yeah, knee-high boots, man.
Like the high heel kind of like
oh yeah.
boot thing? No, that's not. Are you saying like I wear it or
no,
like
no, no.
Or
you find them find them incredibly fashionable and stylish.
I mean like if a girl could pull them off, I guess, but it'd be difficult. I don't know.
No, I mean, I agree. Maybe I'm like a 5 on the white girl scale. I don't know.
Because you like girls in boots? I don't know, man. You might be too hard on yourself on that girl scale. I'm cool with who I am. So I don't know. people do that about me, but I'm cool with it. So yeah, I'm you know like 7 or 8 on the white girl scale. I guess. Yeah, sure.
There we go. Good response. What are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield? Even though he's not typically their style, would you like it if Pittsburgh drafted him? I mean, I like Baker Mayfield a lot. I think I would like it if Pittsburgh drafted him. I mean, yeah, it would be very different for a lot of reasons. I mean, this is probably isn't the best offense for Baker Mayfield, but at the same time, I think he could grow into it and be very good at it. I think he's a guy that if Ben retired could play earlier than a lot of other quarterbacks in this class. And I mean, I, I can honestly see myself being, as we get closer and closer to this point, depending on what happens with Roethlisberger, you know, liking that scenario more and more for Pittsburgh because, A, I think he'll be there, and B, I think he could be the best quarterback in this class, to be honest. So, I'm fond of that scenario right now. I mean, part of me is still like, okay, you know, if Ben is willing to play another 2 years or so, you know, we'll see after this year. You never know with him. Then I'd like to kind of load it up and go for it a couple more years rather than going to quarterback right away. So, but I think, yeah, even though it's not the perfect fit, I would be down with that selection, although I don't think it'll happen at all. Does Deshaun Watson's injury affect when you'd be willing to draft Lamar Jackson? I don't know that there's an effect there. Not sure I understand what the tie-in would be between those two things. I think more than anything, I mean, what were you doing when you heard about Deshaun Watson's injury? Because I was crying once I heard it.
About the same.
I walked in the house, and because I came back from football practice from coaching, and I walked in the house, and my wife was there, and I said, Deshaun Watson tore his ACL, non-contact injury in practice. And her face just, like, fell. I mean, she was just – we were just sitting at dinner. She just kept repeating. She's like, I can't believe that happened. And it was like a family member. That's what it felt like. And even though that seems dramatic, and that is how we get about prospects in this house because we talk about them so much. But even though that seems dramatic, isn't it so true about Deshaun Watson that, like, he just like who didn't like Deshaun Watson? You know what I mean? Like you see people that hate Derek Carr, that hate Carson Wentz, and those don't make any sense because they're great people and football players too. But like everybody seemed to like Deshaun Watson. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you see people who can't stand Cam Newton and can't stand Ben Roethlisberger and can't stand Joe Flacco. But it just seemed like nobody disliked Deshaun Watson. Like personality, he's just an amazing person. He's an amazing football player. He's fun to watch. He's exciting. Yeah. He was great in college. He was great in the NFL. He beat Alabama, and it just seems like he was he's just fantastic, and everybody liked him. He was the best thing happening in this NFL season.
That was a takeaway that I had when I was kind of watching the news unfold and everybody reacting is that fans from being an NFL draft guy, and you probably have this too, our timelines are pretty diverse with all different kinds of fan groups and fan bases and people who cover the draft who are from different parts of the country and watch other teams, and everyone was bummed about this, except Jaguars fans. Jaguars fans were basically like, well, we win the division now, and
they're the worst.
They are not. They're not the worst.
No, they're not. Jags fans. They're not the worst.
Jags fans are cool sometimes.
There's really no fan base that's the worst. There's just individuals that are the worst.
That's true. So I follow a lot of cool Jags fans, so I might not follow the worst Jags fans. But yeah, you saw from every team, like everybody was, even players from every team all over the NFL. Where, I mean, how many weeks are we into this season? We're in week 9 now, right? Yeah. I think so. Like Deshaun Watson has not had the opportunity to play all of these teams. And there are players from teams that simply just watched him that I'm sure have never met him before that were even like sending out their condolences and their prayers and their well wishes and everything. And so that tells you a lot about not only how good of a player he was, how respected he already was in the NFL, but like him as a dude too, a lot of people respect him and wish him the best. And so did you see what Dabo Sweeney said afterwards?
I didn't know.
Dabo basically said, there's no guy who I've ever seen have the mentality that he had coming back from it. Because he tore his ACL in 2014,
right.
too.
Right. And then he played the next game, I think.
Well, and then Dabo said, all he did after tearing his ACL for the first time is come back, lead his team to back-to-back national titles, and win one of those national titles. And so, it's you root for a guy like that.
Right. Yeah, no, he's...
You hope that... guy that he was his rookie year before he got hurt.
Right. Yeah, he's awesome. It's a bummer. If you were offered $1 million but your team would never win the Super Bowl ever again, would you take the deal? Yes, I would take $1 million. I love football. I love the Steelers, but not that much. $1 million. I still like football. If the Steelers never won the Super Bowl again, I would still watch football. I would still cover it the same way. So, heck yeah, I'm taking $1 million. I don't know how passionate you are about the Bucs, Trevor.
They never won again?
If they never won the Super Bowl ever again.
Would it take $1 million?
Yeah.
Dude, I'd take $1 million if the Bucks never won a football game
again. Right, exactly. Exactly. What does the Eagles defensive line do that makes them so dominant? Is it individual or collective? I think it really is individual with the Eagles. You know, they don't run as many games or blitzes or anything like that as other teams do. And, you know, Brandon Graham's ability to win off the edge one-on-one, I think, is huge. I think that Eagles defensive line has a lot of strengths, I would say. But if without Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, I don't think the group is nearly as good as it is, you know, across the board. Just because those two make so many things happen. And then you add Timmy Jernigan into the mix, you add Vinnie Curry into the mix, Derek Barnett's coming up, Chris Long's there. You know, they just a lot of good players on that defensive line for Philadelphia.
They built their defense the right way because Schwartz is the defensive coordinator, correct, for the Eagles? Is he not?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so, I mean, like, he plays, you know, they're a very aggressive style of defense. And when you play that aggressive, it's harder to get the players to run that kind of style of defense because you demand more from them individually. But when you get them, you see a team that can really shut down some offenses in the NFL. And so, you know, you see them playing aggressive with their safeties, aggressive with their corners, and then you have the defensive line that they do. And it's you know, from every level of the defense, it's aggressive. And when it works, especially up front, you see a suffocating defense, and you see the record that the Eagles have and the reason why they have it like that. So,
yeah. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Getting the SeatGeek app on your phone, by far the easiest way to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere with just a few taps. You can instantly find seats. I've used SeatGeek before for concerts and for games. It just saves you time and money. They search multiple ticket sites. They make that experience easier than ever by comparing prices and finding amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, they grade every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't miss out on that opportunity, guys. The season, it's winding. It's passing away here, and you got opportunity to get these tickets, $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Really can't beat that, so make sure you check that out. Trev, last question. What two players could the Browns realistically get with their two first rounders that would make the biggest difference for them?
Lamar Jackson and is it Saquon? I don't know.
I mean, my goodness, can you even imagine the two of them in the same backfield?
Right?
I think you might be right. I'm trying to think.
I mean, they're not going to pick.
I feel like they've kind of shored things up on defense. I mean, defensively, your guys just have to play now at this point. I mean,
right.
Maybe grabbing a lockdown corner. I'm not ruling that out, but
in the top five, who's going top five?
If I'm Browns at this point, I'm getting two explosive playmakers, I think, and I'm just, well, you got to do something on offense. I mean, you can't keep doing what you've been doing, and they can't keep running the ball with Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. I mean, this is absurd. We've been going on like 4 years of those two in the backfield, underachieving, and I mean, they've got to upgrade. So yeah, I mean. Man, to take Barkley and Lamar Jackson represents, to me, you know, culture change and a lot else. And even though I think it's high for really any quarterback in this draft to go number one overall, but you got to do
Barkley number one overall if it makes you feel better, and then pick Jackson at five.
Yeah, maybe that's it then. But I don't know, whatever it might be. I mean, they got to take quarterback. There's no question. You got to keep shooting your shot until you get one. That's the unfortunate part about the Browns situation. All right, we got the MyBookie lines lined up, and we're ready to give you our takes. I think somebody tweeted us, actually, what our records were on the year.
I'm one ahead of you.
Yeah.
We're
both very mediocre. Oh, by the way, in case you missed it, Ezekiel Elliott will now play on Sunday.
Wait, what?
This is the most ridiculous situation seen in my life. Yeah, that's what they just released it. I'll try and find the actual story so I can read it for you. Absolutely unbelievable.
I thought that this was like, okay, it's done. He's serving the suspension.
Yep. But this week they granted him... Second Circuit grants Zeke Elliott's motion for a brief administrative stay. He will play on Sunday. This is just absurd. This is just going to go on and on and on.
Man, it's unbelievable. I hate it, man. Jeez. Good Lord. Okay. All right, can we just do the lines?
Let's do it.
Okay. Denver Broncos at the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are favored by 7.5.
I've got this sneaky feeling the Broncos are going to win again. I don't even think the Broncos are good. I've just got this sneaky feeling they're going to win. I'm going with the Broncos. I think it'll at least be close.
Stipulation pick. If Swag Kelly starts at quarterback,
he's Broncos not starting.
If Swag Kelly starts at quarterback, Broncos cover. If not, then I'm taking the Eagles.
Well, he's not starting, so you're taking the Eagles.
Los Angeles Rams at the football Giants.
You broke up a little bit there, but I think you said the Rams at the Giants.
Correct.
I feel like, what are the Rams favored by in this game?
The Rams are favored by 3.5.
That was smart to make it a small line.
Rams. I'm taking the Rams.
I keep thinking the Rams are going to hit that bump. Like as much as the Rams are obviously my team, and I've been a longtime Rams fan, longtime Sean McVay fan, I just keep thinking they're going to hit that bump of the road, you know, and not make the playoffs and have a little losing streak. Because, I mean, they still have some holes. But I don't know. The Giants are really struggling.
Can't underestimate good coaching, though.
Yeah. Give me the Rams. Okay, I'll take the Rams.
So we're the same there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Big Easy, New Orleans, Louisiana. And the Saints are favored by 6.5. So the Bucs are getting 6.5.
Saints are another one of those teams I'm waiting to kind of come crashing back down. But give me the Bucs in this one. I think it'll be close.
Oh, yeah, fine. I think it'll be close. Whatever.
you're not bitter.
Sound very enthusiastic about it. Whatever. I'm going to New Orleans anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
Oh, nice. When are you leaving? You're leaving. You're leaving today. Yeah, where you're on your way to now.
No, I actually got they got a press conference here in Tampa today that I got to go cover, and then I'll be on my way to Bourbon Street.
Enjoy it.
So
that'll be fun.
The Nollins. Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, no. The Cincinnati Bengals at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags are favored at home by 5.5.
Give me the Bengals. I'm going underdogs this week. Give me them Bengals.
All right, I'm going to go the Jaguars.
Okay, you're dumb. I'm going to go the Jaguars.
Carolina Panthers versus the Atlanta Falcons. Carolina's at home, and Carolina's only getting 1 point.
1 point.
I'm taking the Falcons for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Steve Sarkisian is pissing a lot of Atlanta fans off, but I mean, come on.
Right. Agreed.
Colts at Texans. Obviously, this game changes a lot. Right now, it still says that the Texans are favored by a touchdown.
My freaking word. The Colts are a disaster. Oh, man.
I mean, if the Colts are really getting 7, I'm taking the Colts.
Think about what the Texans have lost this season. Yeah. J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless. To me, in my opinion, they're two best defensive players. Shout out Jadavian, but I think those are two best defensive players. And then you lose Deshaun Watson, a guy who was literally single-handedly carrying your offense.
I mean, if the Colts are getting 7, give me the Colts.
Yeah, Colts, yeah. I mean, I think Colts are going to win, so even if that line drops.
Well, there we go. Ravens at Titans. The Titans are at home, and they are favored by 3.5.
Yeah, I think the Titans win by at least 3.5.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I am in agreement with you. The Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are getting 2.5 points at home. Cardinals favored by 2.5, obviously. I'm taking the Cardinals.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Yeah, So,
still not.
Washington at Seattle.
Mm.
And Seattle is favored by 7?
7 seems rich. I'll take Washington if that's the case.
Good. Yeah, I'll take Washington.
Seattle's been playing pretty well, to be fair. But
I think Washington is down like all 4 of their starting offensive linemen. So there's like
they only have 4 starters. They don't have 5.
Well, I was gonna say the 4 that are are all 4 down.
I'm just being a douche.
No, yeah, they're playing this new brand of football where they sub out an offensive lineman for another wide receiver, and they're going 6 wide, baby.
Mike McCarthy would have done 6 wide if it were possible to do. Let's be honest. It would have already happened.
I mean, it's technically possible.
I guess it is.
You're just an idiot. Kansas City Chiefs at the Dallas Cowboys, and Ezekiel Elliott will apparently be playing. So the Cowboys are favored by 1.5 points.
The Cowboys are favored. That's interesting to me.
Well, they're at home.
Yeah.
Now they have Zeke, so I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think I will too.
Okay.
That's a tough one. That's one of the toughest games we had to pick this year because I do feel like the Chiefs are probably a little better, but the Cowboys are going to be energized getting Zeke and playing at home. And I feel like the Chiefs have struggled to finish in the red zone. I think this game's going to be a shootout, though. I really do.
The over-under is 52, so yeah, that's Vegas agrees with you. The Oakland Raiders at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are at home getting 3 points. I'm taking Oakland.
Yeah, Dolphins are horrible.
Correct. Crash.
Oakland will win.
The Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers for the Monday night game. The Packers are getting 2 points, even though it's in Lambeau. Detroit Lions are obviously giving up 2.
Lions are going to win. If the Lions don't win, their season's over, and they just lost to the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. So,
all right, give me the Packers.
Oh, gosh.
Give me the Packers, and those are your lines of the week.
Make sure you guys head over to mybookie.ag, check out the lines, lay down some cash, win big today. In-game live betting as well, something to check out this weekend. MyBookie always got some really good stuff for you guys. We'll be back early next week. We'll have lots of NFL draft prospects to talk about, but we talked a ton about rookies this week because of it being at the midway point. Next week, we're going to talk more about the college football prospects, examining this past weekend in college football action, and looking ahead to 2018 draft. And then, of course, which teams get not necessarily officially eliminated, but unofficially eliminated by losing this week in the NFL. We'll talk about what those team needs could be as they project out toward the 2018 NFL draft. So until then, you make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.